It's the Reality TV Happy Hour with Jordan Parhar. Because you can't spell Parhar without R-H-A-P.
R-H-A-P.
Reality TV Happy Hour. Reality TV Happy Hour.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Reality TV Happy Hour. I am not the 6'6" monster, tough guy boxer, but I am Brent Wagamon, hosting another episode of the Happy Hour, episode number 5 of Big Brother Canada, the eviction episode for the second week. And we are joined by three awesome people, two of whom you saw last night, one person who is new. First, you know her as the fourth member of the LFC. We love her. We just love her to death, but she sometimes has problems with Google Chrome, I think it was, this tonight. Just like, yeah. Alex, like he's poisoning you or something. It's Melissa.
He must be poisoning me. I think that's the only explanation, but yeah. You know, we got through it. I'm here now. We're good. Sounds good.
All right. Also joining us tonight, like I said, told you guys last night he was going to come. He's from the So You Think You Can podcast contest. He also happened to be the expert for the Game Changer Experts podcast that Rob did. It's Puya. Puya, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Brent. I hope everyone else is having a good night. I mean, you know what they say? It ain't easy being PZV. That is me. I will not dab. Don't worry, guys. Actually, one of those for all of you sitting at home.
Okay. You might, as Rob would say, I think you might need to workshop that just a little bit.
A little bit.
I needed a fourth person to talk tonight, and I couldn't think of anyone better than this lovely lady. It's Liana Barris. Liana, how you doing?
Sorry, you're going to be sick of me, but I'm here to judge and to not hug.
Excellent. So we have an eviction episode tonight. Dallas goes home. I don't want to bury the lead, like I often say. We talked about this last night, but I want to hear from Puya. Puya, what went wrong with Dallas? Come on.
Okay, so Dallas is that guy at every house party that someone will come up to you and be like, hey, man, you see this guy? Yeah, he's going to jump through the window. And it's like, why? Like, it's unnecessary. He's like, no, you don't believe me? And it's like, no, I believe you. We don't need to see it. Or boom, he's through the window. That's Dallas.
Yeah,
Dallas doesn't have an off switch. And he's just like an Energizer bunny. You winded him up too much, and now he's just going to keep going until his batteries die out.
I know. And I thought it was so interesting because, you know, the vote came in, it was 12-0. And, you know, obviously we're not going to talk anything spoilers that's happened after the episode, but we are going to talk about the feeds that happened up until today's episode. And I know, like, as Arissa said on her Facebook interview, if you guys saw that after the episode, Melissa, that Ika and Cass, they were doing a lot of work to try to save Dallas. How did it end up being 12-0?
That's the thing, is that I feel like the episode missed so much of what was going on in the house. I was so excited for them to show Dallas doing the fake house meeting. I was so excited for them to show him, you know, putting the condiments in the shampoo bottles. There's just so much going on. And I was excited to see them depict Ika scrambling and trying to change opinions and people going back and forth. And instead it was like Emily was this, you know, strategist, and that she was able to save herself by being, you know, super strategic and coming up with these master plans. It's like, where did all this come from? This isn't what we watched on the live feeds. It was shocking.
I know. I often think that when things happen Wednesday night to Thursday morning, because, you know, Dallas also did this whole pots and pans thing. For those of you who don't watch the live feeds, Dallas was trying everything. He got rid of all the condiments. He put the ketchup and the mustard in the shampoo bottle and switched it. Of course, Netta was the first person to find that. She wasn't all that happy with that. He tried pots and pans, but it wasn't really like Evil Dick pots and pans. It was sort of like, as someone said, I think it was the BB president on, you can tell I often follow the BB president because I bring them up all the time. Like, it was like a polite pots and pans where he was sort of like he was, it was like a tambourine he was banging together. It was not like Evil Dick, like bang 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 bang.
No, it was like a nice musical number.
I know, right? It was exactly right, totally like Liana. So much left on the cutting room floor, but we Dallas did sort of try, but it was a lot of bombs and not a lot of bonds, right?
Yeah, I sort of is generous, I think. I mean, maybe the tambourine, like Morocco musical number was in his favor. Maybe that was him trying. But I mean, we just see him crash and burn. And it just escalated throughout the course of this week. You know, he's like, okay, he's going to pick a fight with Dylan. And then all of a sudden, like more, and the snowball just kept rolling. And all of a sudden we got an avalanche.
Yeah, you know, that reminds me, actually, that the thing I like about Big Brother Canada that they often do is that when they're showing the eviction episode and there's a studio audience there, they let us hear the audience's reaction to what they're showing on the screen. And, you know, Big Brother USA doesn't do that. I love it because you can hear them just groan when Dallas is pulling his hijinks, Melissa.
Yeah, and Dallas's whole thing was at the end he goes... I tried, you know what? I pulled out all the stops. I tried everything I could think of. And it was like, that's what you came up with? Those were your final ploys to try and stay? Like, I was shocked that that was the best he could come up with, was banging pots and pans, playing pranks, calling a fake house meeting. Like, what about going into individual people's rooms and talking to them and trying to convince them that him staying is best for their game, which they were saying by themselves all along.
Yeah. Big DZ is really known for being such a master strategist. So brilliant.
I know. Right. Actually, you know, in his, after the episode talk on Facebook with Arissa, he said that before he left, he said, quote, I told my allies everything I know about the game. I'm like, well, that conversation must not have took long.
Seriously,
the thing is, no, you're right, because he you know, even when he was talking with people in rooms, and he occasionally did this, it was like he was a constant Energizer bunny. He was on 10 the entire time. It was never puya about, you know, well, you know, getting to know people and, you know, maybe selling them a little bit on why something might be in their best interest. It was just, you know, like, I give you my word. If you vote to keep me, it's us against them. You know, I'm loyal. Like, that's how it was the entire time. There was never any subtlety to his game. Not that I would expect that, but it did seem like coming into this season that there might be some subtlety, and there clearly wasn't.
Yeah. And I mean, it's a shame, right? Because I feel like most credible sources, if they give anyone advice after they come out of the house, it's usually the Rob Cesarino school of thought. Go to sleep. Go to sleep. And I know some people have a hard time just switching off and just like laying low for the first bit. But I mean, he clearly has shown that he has the ability to pick up from other people's games and bring it into his own. It's just a shame that he decided to go with season 16 Joey instead of going with like someone more subtle. And I mean, you're seeing his like vet buddies, his vet bros do this perfectly. So it's just a shame to watch Dallas come in. And as he said in the interview with Arissa afterwards, he went hard and fast last time. He went harder and faster this time. It's like, well, who told you to do that? Sit down.
Right. I know. I wrote that down. It said he said he was too hard, too fast. And I wrote down too little, too late. I mean, that's how I viewed Dallas's campaigning this week.
He also he tried to blame it in that interview. He's like, well, I just ran into some bad luck.
Oh, I know. Let's talk about that. Okay, let's talk about that, Liana, because he said in his interview on the Facebook Live, and I get confused whether if it's because I watch it all at the same time on the after show or in the show. He said that he ran into some bad luck and he just got put up on the block and evicted because he was associated with the wrong people. I think that the reason he was even in danger to begin with was because he was hanging around with those newbies so much. Don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. This really is the part of the game that I think is much more skill-based. I think sometimes luck and winning comps in the end can play a bigger role. Like, you got evicted second, buddy. There was no luck involved in this situation. Like, you put yourself in a bad spot and just own up to it.
Yeah. Yeah, he's saying he got associated with the wrong people. You chose to associate with those people.
Thank you.
That was your choice. That's not luck.
Yeah. Oh, and Arissa even, you know, brought up to him, she said, well, you know, Bruno and Kevin were also a vet and they were also on the wrong side of the vote last week. And yet they managed to get in the good graces of the HOH. And he was sort of not having it in his interview. He was sort of like, well, you know, I wanted to blame them a little bit. And she even said that, you know, maybe he should have been quieter. It's like, I felt like she was trying to throw shade on him a little bit without being overt about it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it was one of those things where it was like, so, you know, like when your kid like messes up and you're trying to get the kid to understand why they messed up. So you're like, well, did you really leave the door open?
Right.
Or...
Right.
He didn't get it.
So, you know, in the eviction, we saw that when he was getting ready to be evicted, he obviously knew he was going to be evicted. He decided to come after Cindy again. I brought this up last night. He's such an idiot. It was not Cindy that caused him to be put on the block. Anybody? Who was the person that caused him to be put on the block?
He just does not want to take blame. It's like, it's got to be somebody else. Somebody else did it. I'm just going to decide to pick Cindy today. Like, this is the person I'm going to pick a fight with.
Well, in his
defense, just like, throwing things at the wall and seeing what sticks.
I know. And I don't understand him either. I do think that Netta had a bigger part in his demise than maybe he even understands at this point. When she was, you know, when she was talking to him in the HOH room, trying to get him to eventually put up Dallas as a replacement nominee and go with his gut. But for some reason, he thinks it's Cindy, and he called her out in that meeting. It's total Dallas. Like, I would have expected nothing more than him going out of the house with total misinformation on the way out and not knowing what the hell he was talking about. One more thing that Arissa said in the interview, which I thought was really funny. She was like, well, you know, you were brought back this season, and she read a comment from LaVita where LaVita said, you know, she said, Dallas, I loved you on the feeds, even when I was yelling at you to be quiet. And, you know, of course, that Dallas then said, well, you know, I know a lot of people in Big Brother Canada would give in their right arm to play again. I hope I didn't let any of those guys down or blow it. And I'm thinking, yeah, you kind of did, Puya. Yeah, right?
Yeah, it's, I mean, really think about, awkward.
We could have had Godfrey. We got Dallas.
At least he didn't fart in a jar.
I know. She said, I can't even believe they brought that up. Yeah, I know.
That's his legacy. He did nothing this time around to erase that. I'm still going to think of him as the dude who fart in a jar, scratch his belly, had smokes, and wore a cactus suit. It's frustrating.
I liked the cactus suit.
I was so surprised when they had said he was cast in the first place. And I was like, you know what? Maybe they know something that we don't know. Maybe they've been like interviewing him and he's totally changed and something's different. And this time we're going to see a completely new guy. And that's why they're bringing him back. But no, nothing. It's the exact same, if not worse.
I have figured out what's going on with Big Brother Canada producers. This is what they cast four strong, like, amazing women, and they cast four sort of vanilla guys. And I know you can say, well, but Gary's not vanilla, but he's more with the women than anything. I mean, he's not with Bruno and Kevin, for heaven's sake. So, I mean, I feel like they wanted this, that this is what they want. They want a house ruled by women, and that's what they're getting. Don't you guys agree with that? Anybody?
Yeah. First time in the history of the show where two boots have been male. And
I'm really
liking it. Yeah.
Well, I knew that that they never evicted a man first before in Big Brother Canada, but it's just amazing to me that I guess I should have seen this coming based on the women that they cast and the men that they cast, but for some reason I didn't. I mean, but you know, if you think about it, Bruno's a pretty quiet guy most of the time, unless he gets angry. Kevin's a pretty quiet guy. I think there was this famous picture floating around on the internet where it's like the three women talking on the couch, and then Kevin's like in the background with a towel over his eyes. Like, somebody's like, well, what is Kevin doing? And then somebody else retweeted it and said, winning Big Brother, because he's staying out of the way.
Yeah, well, my prediction going into the season based on the cast was I was thinking that, you know, obviously the vets were going to dominate. I thought that the women might take control early, and then whether or not they can hold on to that throughout the rest of the game, or whether or not the guys who might play more quiet, more subdued games, they might come out of the woodwork and kind of take control. So it's going to be really interesting to see where the season ends up going.
Yeah, Melissa, I didn't really like what Dallas said either about how he thought he had the vets. I'm like, in what universe did you ever have the vets? It's not like you knew these people from way back when. You were just on the reunion show 10 months ago. You might have known a couple of these people in passing, but I know for sure he didn't know everybody. And from where I'm sitting, I know we didn't get to see the first week of feeds, but he didn't spend a lot of time with these vets. How did he think he had them?
Yeah, that's the thing. Is you go into it, and maybe you do have the vets because, you know, they're all vets and they have a close bond or what have you, whatever. But he didn't put any effort into that relationship at all. If anything, he just pushed them away. And so that's his own undoing. I mean, he could have stayed with the vets. The vets all are pretty much staying together. I mean, we'll see what happens this week. But, you know, the vets are a thing. He's just not a part of it.
Right. I thought it was interesting where he was like, you know, the vets are in shambles now. It's done. I'm like, no, dude, you're done. The vets are doing fine where I'm standing. All right. By the way, I forgot to mention at the top of the show, we are taking your questions. If you guys know any of the spoilers, we're not talking about spoilers right now. This is the spoiler free section. So if you want to tweet me your questions, you can. Make sure you use the hashtag Rahappy Hour. I saw some people misspelling it last night. I do say Rahappy Hour, but it's It's basically happy hour with an R in front of it. So just use that hashtag and we'll see if we can get your question on the air. And we also are going to talk about the new HOH, but that's in the spoiler section as well. We also have the chat room going, so you can also hop over there if you want. It's at chatwing.com/for happy hour. All right. So we did get to see finally on the show Webin, which is Kevin and William. Puya, finally get to see something going on tonight. I love where Kevin said, I have written down, he said, I sort of feel bad. No, I don't. I don't feel bad at all. Hey, this is a business trip for him. What did you think of Kevin and William?
So I learned a couple days ago the difference between spooning and ladling based on a photo of Kevin and William. So that was fun, educational for me. Where I was surprised, because I really genuinely-ish thought that this was something. This was something going on. That DR tonight blew my mind. I was glad to see Kevin has his head on straight. He's just ready to play the game, and he's just willing to do whatever it takes. He's doing what what's his name? Wow. Kenny. He's doing what Kenny wanted to do in season two.
And failed.
Right. And he's doing it right. So let's hope that this is just genuinely the way it is, and he doesn't end up falling for William.
I don't think I ever saw it that way. I always saw it as we've seen Kevin. This has got to be a game. I see him flirting, but I really do think he's playing him. And I mean,
I think it's both though. Don't you think, Melissa? I think it's both. I think he actually likes him. I think he's cute, but he's also playing him in that, you know, he wants to have somebody who's in his back pocket who he can sort of tell what to do. The problem is, I don't know if William's exactly that kind of a guy. I feel like William is more with Dre and Jackie, not with Kevin necessarily. And I feel like that is more of a reflection of the fact that Kevin is with Bruno and therefore William doesn't see a spot for himself necessarily.
Yeah, and I mean, plus William had that conversation with Gary where he told Gary he was his 1.1 instead of his number one. So really, he's with Gary and Dre. And I mean, I think that he thinks that there's something there with Kevin. But I mean, I think there's just going to be a lot of brokenhearted people on Tumblr after this episode.
Right, and to be fair to both of them, or maybe fair to the show, there, you know, I have seen on the feeds a little bit more happening than just spooning between Kevin and himself and a few other people, but it seems like they're not going to show it on the show right now. But I do think at the end of the day, no matter what Kevin's doing, he's doing it for game purposes at number one. Mm-hmm. And anything else that's extraneous that he feels is like number two, three, and four. All right, cool. We also finally got to see the Cindy Dancing. I know the person who's running the Twitter account for Cindy Dancing is going to be thrilled tonight. Cindy Dancing got her own segment, Liana. How cool is that?
I was so excited. I follow Cindy Dancing on Twitter. My favorite is still the Call Me Maybe one, but there have been some really good ones. I think I talked about this last night, but it's like, oh, I can't believe they're showing all this ridiculous, silly stuff on the show. And there's so many great things happening strategy wise. But this one, I'll let this one slide.
Yeah, I feel like this one, Puya, we can let slide because like it's devolved into its own Twitter account, for heaven's sake.
Yeah, I mean, when the pizza song became a thing, they steered into the skit. And I think they're doing the same thing here with Cindy. So I like it. I'll take it.
Cool. All right. We also had the probably one of the grossest competitions I've ever seen. Oh, that's so funny. I can see all three of you shaking your head right now. You're like, what? Oh, gosh. It's the, you know, the other thing about Big Brother Canada is they're not afraid to just slap a label on it. You know, like if it's for Chevrolet, they'll put Chevrolet all over everything. They don't mind. You know, yeah, we're trying to sell something here. It's the Oral-B Crest Toothbrush Challenge, where your partner has to eat something, and then you have to identify it by them blowing into your face. Melissa, I was not living for this competition, but what did you think of it?
That was so gross. That was so
I was like, bring back the Oreo dunking contest.
Yeah, yeah, you hated the Oreo from last night.
I know. I was like, please just give me the Oreo one back. I don't care. It was just so gross. And I just kept thinking, because they kept having to brush their teeth in between each one, and they brush their teeth and then immediately eat ribs. Like, I'm just imagining toothpaste tasting ribs. That's like, it just,
right?
It's so
exactly.
Gross. And Jackie like vomiting.
Oh, gosh. Puya, that's exactly what I thought when they were brushing their teeth, because, you know, like when you brush your teeth and you eat something, I feel like the toothpaste and the food sort of come together, and it's never fun.
No, it's there's a reason why everyone waits till the last second to brush their teeth before they sleep, because once that happens, your mouth, nothing, you stop. Yeah. And then crickets and ribs and beets and...
I know, right? It's so funny. I'm such a picky eater. I'm like, I'm worse than Peter in Big Brother Canada 1, where he wouldn't even eat a salad. Like, you know, I literally eat terrible. That's why I work out as much as I do, because I eat like a child, okay? But I can never eat any of the stuff that they have. Liana, we have a winner of this contest. It's Cassandra and Dre, I believe. I almost forgot that it was Dre.
Yes.
And the funny part I was thinking was, like, what if Dylan had won this competition? Would they still have had Dimitri in, like, a shirtless tuxedo? But no, they were all prepared for it. They have Dimitri coming out there to serve them.
Oh, my gosh. He comes out in this, like, Chippendale dancer costume. I was waiting for the dance. I was like, is there a show with this? Or is this all we're going to get?
Right.
I liked it.
I liked it, too. By the way, some people threw shade at me because I mispronounced Dimitri's name last night for the first couple of times. Look, I said, you guys are just going to have to... I had it in my head that it was Dimitri, and now I know it's Dimitri's, but it's going to take some time for my mind to switch back and forth. So if occasionally I say Dimitri, okay, suck it. I mean, I can't change it. It's just how I feel. All right. So I think we've covered most everything that happened in the episode, unless there's anything you guys want to talk about. Anything, Puya? What you got? Well, Puya, I didn't even ask you at the beginning of the episode. How do you feel about Big Brother Canada this year? Because I love what I'm getting from it, but it is a bit of a train wreck.
It's a bit of a train wreck. There's a lot going on. My qualm, man, my main qualm is with whoever is editing the show this season.
Yeah.
Why are we getting all these little things that don't matter? It's like, you know, I'm a guy. I like twerking as much as the next guy, but do I need it on BB when there's all this drama going on the feet? Hell no. I need content. I need drama. I need friction. I need to know who's with who. And with everything flipping this often, it's crazy. There's been many days this week where I worked and I started at 2:30 p.m. on my break at 7. Both times before, I checked my phone and the updates were upside down. Aika was good. Aika was bad. Cass was good. Cass was bad. It's hard to keep up. Why are we not getting any of this?
Well, I will say this. Look. I will just defend the editors a little bit here, and I hear what you're saying about the twerking. I get that. On the other hand, I don't think that from a TV show standpoint and from a continuity standpoint, it's really possible for them to show the amount of carnage that is happening on the live feeds right now. I don't think it's really possible for them to show the TV viewer that it flipped and then it flipped back and then it flipped and then it flipped back and flip. I mean, it's just not possible because you're going to be left with a bunch of mishmash, Melissa. I just feel like the editors are sort of doing the best they can, but I feel like we know that they can do better because the twerking definitely did take the place of some honest-to-God strategic talk that was happening in the house.
Yeah, and I do feel like not only are they not showing that much and they're kind of showing some not really important things, I feel like they're not even showing the major events that are happening or the major conversations. They're showing these conversations that didn't really end up affecting anything or conversations that I even forgot about. And they're not showing the ones where I went, oh yeah, this is going to be on the show. Like this is making the episode. Everything I've said that about is not on the episode.
Right.
So I feel like I'm watching a completely different show.
At times, I feel like they're also being a little bit misleading. We talked about this last night with Cass, Liana, that they're making Cass out to be some amazing player who is leading the HOH by the collar, but that's not what's happening at all with Cass.
Yeah, exactly. And I think we saw this with Emily tonight, that there was so much focus on how, you know, Emily's the one that was able to protect herself and was able to get the target on Dallas, when in reality, we know that that's not what happened. And I think I completely agree with you that from a continuity standpoint, the audience would just be so confused because you'd have like 15 different segments of Aika and Cass flipping back and forth. And so that just would not make sense. But I do think that the editors and the story, we're going to have issues later on when some of this all of the kind of backlog of strategic talk was never shown.
Right. I know.
Yeah.
Puya, I know. Or who? Somebody want to talk? I heard somebody's voice.
Well, I was just going to say that someone on Reddit said that the episodes at this point are basically just fan fiction.
Yeah, I would probably agree with that. I really would agree with that. I just feel like that they're sort of between a rock and a hard place because the amount of insanity that's happening on the feeds is just not something that can be depicted from a television point of view and get it across to the audience correctly. All right. I forgot what I was going to say, but make sure if you guys want to ask us a question, make sure you use the hashtag Happy Hour. Like I said, we're going to start taking your questions soon. We do have a new HOH, and I want to talk about it before we lose any more time. So,
all right, before we move forward, we're just going to take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this.
We're going to segue into these spoilers right now. If you don't want to know who the HOE is, you can drop out right now and join us. I think Monday's when the next episode is, right?
Monday.
Okay, cool. And then Rob should have a show with the boys on Monday night. So if you don't want to know who the next HOH is, 3, 2, 1.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler.
Warning.
A spoiler.
Warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
We have a new HOH and her name, Melissa, is Netta. What do you think about Netta winning head of household at this point?
I don't know if it's necessarily her best move to win HOH at this point.
I would agree.
First of all, she's safe because of the power, but also she's in a good place with everybody. So I don't know if it's in her best interest to make waves right now.
Right. Puya, we haven't heard your thoughts on Netta. In fact, I haven't really brought her up much up until tonight. She's the new head of household. She's also immune. So even next week when she's not eligible to compete, she can't be evicted. So what do you think about her winning HOH? Because Taryn said on this podcast or on the podcast with Rob on Tuesday night that he wouldn't mind Netta winning head of household if it was early enough. And I'm sure he agrees that this was probably the cutoff point, week 3, because she can fade back into the woodwork. And by the time her immunity is up, hopefully she won't have too much blood on her hands. What say you?
I say I'd have to agree with Taryn, shockingly. However, so my thing is with the HOH and Netta. Netta's safe. Netta's fine. She's got good rapport with everyone in the house. She's in a good position. Why should she win HOH? I have to go back to BB Can 2 when, you know, she was safe. She was fine. She had no problem, no blood, but she insisted on Arlie going up. Arlie had to go. Arlie had to go. I feel like with Netta, she's a cool, calm, collected player, but when she has a target in her mind, she needs that target out. She'll know she'll be fine, but she'll breathe easier knowing that's done. And I think, unfortunately for me, and I think every Persian's nightmare scenario, for her, cast as that person.
So you think so?
I think so. I unfortunately really do. And I think this is why she won it. She wants to go after Cass.
All right, Liana, what say you?
Well, so I don't know if we know this yet, but how were people eliminated? Because that's what I'm thinking about. I don't know if she would. I mean, I know that she said she wanted to win the soccer HOH comp, and whether or not that was just her, you know, in the DR talking to the cameras.
Yes.
Right. And that she didn't really want to win. But like, let's say it's somebody that she thinks might target her and it's, you know, her and that other person. And those are the only two left. She's not going to want to throw it. She's going to want to go for the win. So that's kind of my assumption of what might have happened. Cause I don't really think it's in her best interest to win this HOH.
Right. I think it was in a tiebreaker between her, Gary, and I want to say it was Kevin. Does anybody know that for a fact? I know.
Kevin.
Yeah, I know Hamster Watch tweeted these results. So she could have dumped it on one of the two of them, but instead she decided to take it into her hands, Melissa. Do you think that she's going to target Cass, or do you think she might have other targets in mind?
Well, I mean, it's also possible that because it was a tiebreaker, I heard it was a tiebreaker. I don't know for sure, but that's what I had heard, that maybe it was one of those numbers ones where you kind of write down a number and hers just happened to be the closest. Because for that, you can't. I mean, I guess you can throw it, but
yeah, you can throw it. You can put like a million, like Jun Song did, you know, or a billion or whatever. I'm just saying, if you want to throw it, look, if she's a smart enough girl, if she wanted to throw it, there's a way you can throw it to make sure. Like, if the answer is 1,000, you put, you know, 3,100 on your thing. Oh, I just overestimate. You know, I mean, there's a way to do it. I feel like Puya. So, I mean.
Yeah, definitely.
I feel like, and I threw shade at her in the previous episode because I felt like she was telling us what she wanted us to hear. I felt like she just didn't want to be a have not, but I thought there's no way she's going to win HOH. But it turns out, Melissa, that she actually did want to win HOH, or at least somehow it happened, and she's the new head of household. So she's got to put two people up. Do you think it's going to be Cass and somebody else, or do you think it's going to be a rerun of last week? And Dylan and Emily are going to go up.
I mean, at this point, I would say I think she's going to go after Cass. No, at this point, I didn't know that Dallas was going home last week. So I really don't know who's going up, who's going home. It changes constantly. But at this point in time, I think it's a good chance that Cass will be going on the block.
Okay. Liana, what do you think?
Yeah. So Netta told Dre that she wants to put up Cass and Jackie.
Really?
So that, at least that's what she told Dre. And I think that her and Dre have a good rapport. I know Ike and Dre are closer, but I mean, I think that that's who she's going to go after. Like, she's no reason to lie to Dre.
Yeah, I know that there was a talk of a five-person alliance between Netta, Bruno, Kevin, and Dylan and Emily. I don't know if that actually ever came to fruition, but if it did, it would at least, because I feel like if she puts Cass on the block, that she could use Emily as an easy pawn and no one would bat an eye. For her to put Jackie on the block might raise some of the ire of Dre and William, don't you think, Puya?
Yeah, that's definitely possible. And like, Dre and William are two that I don't think Netta has problems with per se, but also she doesn't have those close connections.
I agree.
Like her alliance members do. So I would say it's better to tread easy and go with the two that have already pretty much been put on the block and are accepted as pawn pieces if you're going after Cass, or you just put those two up again because you assume that everyone would be understandable with what's going on and you're not going to ruffle Russell any feathers. So
I mean, also it kind of makes sense because Cass and Jackie have been close, and so, you know, she can do the same thing that Dimitri's did last week, right? Emily, you're solely a pawn. You're only here because you would be a vote for Dylan to stay.
You know what I hate about this, though, Melissa? I hate it that the fan fiction that Cass has been writing in her head about Netta, it's going to come true. But I feel like she put it out there in the universe and now it's coming back at her. Like, you know, she's been saying this whole time, Netta's jealous of me. You know, everybody thought Netta was the best player. And now people think I'm the best player. So I don't even know how I lost the Canada vote to her, because obviously everyone thinks that I'm better than Netta and she's jealous of me. We saw no evidence of that whatsoever from Netta. It was always a one-sided thing from Cass, but now Cass is going to feel like she's been validated, but really I think it's more because of Cass saying that she wanted to go after Netta, that Netta would go after Cass.
Yeah, I mean, the word out there is that Cass was talking really bad about Netta the whole first week, and that got to Netta, and that's the reason for the rivalry, supposedly. I don't know how true it is, but yeah, now Cass is just going to feel totally validated in her feelings and think that,
right,
look, Netta was jealous of me. Netta does think I'm the best player and she wants me out.
Yeah, which is totally not true. And I don't know if any person in the universe who actually thinks that Cass was a better player than Netta. Better TV? Maybe. But I know plenty of people that would quibble with that. But I don't know anybody who thinks that Cass was a better player than Netta. Puya, the thing about Cass is I feel like I think, was it Taryn who said it on a previous podcast? Like she put so much information out there. She's not judicious about what information she says to what people. And thus it's always going to get back to the source because she's just spewing everything to everybody at any time.
Yeah. I mean, information is currency, and you know, it's like, why would I pay for the milk if I'm going to get it for free at this point? She's giving it to everybody. Doesn't matter who you are, if you're with her, if you're not, you're getting the information. That's never good in this game. And it shoots down your credibility in this game. Really, no one's going to trust you with anything if they assume it's going to go back into the house. And Cass is just one of those places, similar to what I said earlier about Dallas being the Energizer Bunny, except Cass is similar to like a beach ball at an EDM festival that's just being thrown in the air and everyone's smacking it back and forth. And they're just letting it go around for no purpose. And everyone knows what she's doing, but they're letting her continue doing it because at this point, everyone knows. So
that's what I said. You know, Ramsey said something similar to that on Peter's podcast that he did on his YouTube show where they were talking about, you know, the first episode of Big Brother Canada. And Ramsey said, you know, hey, I'm Team Cass, but Cass wasn't that good of a player. We kind of knew what she was doing and we just kind of let her do it. I threw shade at him at the time because I felt like he was really selling her short. But I'm kind of coming around to where he was at. And I really hate saying that, Liana, but I feel like, I understand Cass. Where he's coming from.
Cass should never work for Coca-Cola or like what other place of secret recipes?
Because Kentucky Fried Chicken.
KFC, yeah. Kentucky Fried Chicken, Dr. Pepper. Everybody's going to know those 31 flavors.
that's a good one. I like that. Cool. All right, so we have an HOH, and we don't know who the two nominees are going to be, but it's probably going to be Cass and some amalgamation of Jackie and or Emily. We'll see what happens with that. We're going to start taking your questions, and we're not taking your questions. I'm getting a no. We're not taking questions. So while we wait for the questions, then I'll check my Twitter to make sure that I take a look at them. What do you guys think about the French Connection? Because we haven't talked about a lot about them. For those of you who don't know, if you don't follow the live feeds, because it hasn't really been depicted on the show whatsoever. William and Dre are called the French Connection, and Melissa, I feel like that they could go far in this game.
I definitely think they could go far. I think that, you know, they're playing it right. They're really just like, they've got it where everybody likes them. Nobody dislikes them. Nobody thinks that they're scheming. They just think that they're nice people. And I mean, they call them the French Connection. That they basically have already paired them up, and nobody cares. Nobody's concerned about them. They each have made connections all throughout the house, and nobody, you know, it's great.
Yeah, I think go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. Nope. Go ahead.
I think that they're both underrated for sure. I don't know whether or not that's going to end up getting them into trouble, because the vets see how well they're playing and can then, you know, will want to target them because they think they're good players. I think Dre in particular seems to be a really great player. And I didn't have high hopes for her coming in, but I'm actually going to be pretty disappointed if she ends up getting screwed by having a half and half season and gets screwed over by the vets.
Cool. All right. We'll have a couple.
She's totally different than how I expected. Oh, I'm sorry. She's just totally different.
No, she is. I agree. Yeah, we didn't know either one of these two people from a hole in the wall when they came on, but I'm really loving what I'm getting from Dre. She seems to be a very personable girl. This is the same girl, by the way, who said that she would rather lose the game and be loved by Canada. And that's what, you know, really turned me off to her right away. All right. So I do have a couple of questions from Twitter, actually. Jeremiah Yap says, Brent, at this point, do you see any of the remaining returnees improving on their previous placement? If so, who? So I can see all three of you looking. I can see all three of you thinking right now. I don't know. Dallas going out before he did last time. Puya, you got something. What?
I got one, and it's the easiest one, I would say, Cindy. When I say I'm with a lot of you, I did not want to see Cindy this season. I was waving the flag of yikes. Why? Why do we have to hear success with an S, stopped with an S, sealed with an S? I don't want this. But I'm color me impressed, because I'm really liking what I'm seeing from her right now. And I think if she stays the same way she is right now, I could see her going further than her original placement.
Yeah. I mean, she totally went out of my mind. I didn't even think about her when we were just asked this question. So that's exactly where you want to be in the beginning of the game. So I definitely could see her going far. And I also could kind of see, I could also see Kevin going farther than he did last time.
Right.
Because he's playing a pretty good game so far. And he's laying low and people seem to like him. And he's not getting into a showmance, or at least he's getting into like flirtmances, but his head is fully in the game, at least according to that DR.
Aikut is another person that she's going to be safe this week. And if she can make it one more week, right? I mean, then she's got, I think I saw something. So and also Dallas was the person that we kind of thought was going to be in that position, that he might be able to go a lot farther. But I think I saw on Reddit that he now has the worst, average placement for a returning player. Like he beat Devon. Good for him.
All right. We have a question from Cameron Haas, who says, will Netta's HOH win swing Aika over to the good side? That's his words, not mine. And pit her against Cass. So we know that Aika and Cass, they really did not want Dallas to go this week. That, you know, Aika famously said she didn't want him to walk out of the house like a bitch ass. She wanted to make sure that he stayed in the house. They wanted to have as many vets and jury as possible. Melissa, do you think that Aika's going to be in with Netta for good now, or just for the time being?
Because Netta is HOH, I think Aika's definitely going to stick with Netta this week. Although I do think that there's the potential that she might try and influence her in terms of not letting Cass go this week. She might try and find some way to make it so that all the people in Aika's alliances, her various alliances, will stay. So, but I don't think she's going to turn against fully. I think that that would just be out of character for her. And I think that while she will stick with Netta for this week, because it's definitely beneficial, there's no reason to go against Netta this week, I think that she's going to try and see if she can keep Kaz around.
Well, from what I understand, the reason why she was pushing so hard with Cass in order to keep Dallas is because the vets thing, you know, are we really going to target a vet? And also the fact that he's crazy. And it's great having crazy people in the house because they're going to put ketchup in your shampoo bottles and play pots and pans for you all night and serenade and yell, "It ain't easy being Big Deezy," which I'm happy I never have to hear again, hopefully.
Oh my God. Seriously.
I think that that was mainly the reason, not because she necessarily wanted to keep Cat, like, because her and Cass are so close.
Definitely.
Cool.
I definitely could see that.
Excellent. Another question from John Densford. He says, is this going to be the first female dominated season since Big Brother 15? Ironically, Big Brother 15 had a male winner, but nevertheless, it was a pretty female dominated season between Amanda and Alyssa and all those, and Gina Marie. How can I forget Gina Marie at her chicken farm? So what do you guys think? Do you think the women are going to go all the way, or do you think that Kevin and Bruno or somebody else might sneak in at the end? Puya, what you got?
I think the women are situated very well, and they're also very, very good players, the ones that we're seeing. So the thing I wanted to say earlier with the newbies is that, I mean, we were talking about Dre and William earlier and how they've been playing well. I think when it's a split season like this, or when there's returnees like this, usually the big honcho, physical, dominant male players are targeted early on or seen as the more intimidating or bigger threats, and that's because the social players, the low-key players, don't really have anything to show at the beginning. They have to set those seeds to become a threat later on, so they're not really presumed as anything. And in a season like this where, like, you've got Netta, who, I mean, it's bold to say, I would like to say perhaps she is someone that without this twist would have still been safe, would have still been fine. I know that's we can't really say that because it's already happened, but I think her, Cindy's been showing promise. Dre's been showing promise. Aika has moments, both good and bad. I like the good, and I really enjoy watching the bad. So, but I think as a collective unit, I think they're going to fare a lot better than the males.
Yeah, I think that.
The women. Oh, go ahead.
Two girls, we got this. Okay, sorry. Yeah. I really feel strongly about the women. My only concern is that if then they, as we get further into the game, they start to fracture. And the strong males that are there start to weasel their way in, and then you kind of have the women going after each other, and then the men are sort of allowed to take over. But I'm really, really hoping that the women can pull it out this season.
Cool. I just want to let you guys know what's happening right now. So Scott St. Pierre, who, you know, gets all of our questions and everything, his computer's frozen right now. So, and I can't shut us down. So we're in a time loop here. Like, it's like the BBC. we're in a time loop. We will not shut down until Scott is able to come back.
God. So
we're gonna tap dancing until he's able to come back. I seriously do have a few more questions for you guys. John Densford asks, who benefited the most or the least from Dallas leaving over Emily? So Dallas leaving definitely removes a key cog from the game. He's not a vet. That's one more vet that's not going to be in the jury, Melissa. So who benefited the most from Dallas, of all people, leaving the game? Because from where I'm sitting, he can be a pretty loyal soldier.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the easiest answer at this point is that Dylan and Emily benefited from Dallas going home, because even though maybe he was with them in the beginning, his whole thing was that he was going to target them and that he was going to get them out. So I think that overall they benefited, and as well, like Cindy, I think, because I think he would have kept thinking that it would be in his best interest to target her or to call her out or to keep calling these people out. And somehow he thought that would benefit him. But I think that they benefited because they don't have to keep getting called out.
Sorry about that, everybody. A few technical gremlins can sometimes crop up. They ended our podcast, but I do want to thank Liana Boris, Melissa Denny, and Puya Zanvakili for entertaining me and having a great podcast together. You can follow them on Twitter. You can follow Liana Boris at Liana Boris. That's LianaBoraas. You can follow Melissa Denny at It's Melissa with three total A's on the end. And you can also follow Puya at Puyaism. That's Pooyaism. And I am Brent Wagamot at One Lucky Gay. And I want to thank Rob Cesternino, Jordan Parhar, Alex Kidwell, and Taryn Armstrong for allowing me to hold down the fort while they were away in New York City. It was a really fun week, and I hope you guys enjoyed it. So with that, peace out, and we will talk to you again soon.